God will be with you. May God bless you. Thank the Lord for that sweet prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
It's good to see you all this morning. Oh, it's more here than it was when I sat down. good morning to you if I haven't spoken to you this morning. It is great to be here. I joke with Brother Gary sometimes about whether I'm coming or not, but we trust it. The Lord's in the matter. If not, I probably should have stayed home.
Glad you're here, brother.
But pray for us that for a moment this morning we might be blessed to draw closer to the Lord, and that He might indeed manifest Himself in the midst of our meeting, and that He might touch each and every heart that is present this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you turn to the Roman letter. The writer here is talking about the faithfulness of Abraham and how that faith was imputed unto Abraham and also unto us. Chapter 4 there, starting at verse 18. And it reads, "Who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Oftentimes we stagger as God's little children. You know, we read here that the same faith that was in righteousness that was imputed to Abraham is also imputed to us as God's little children. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You know, brethren, we have been given a great gift, a great blessing, in that we have indeed believed on him, that Jesus, that he raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You know, to be imputed with righteousness, as though God looks down upon us, who have no righteousness in and of ourselves, as his righteous children. that righteousness having been imputed us by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, therefore, having been justified by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told that we have peace with God. Now, God has indeed reconciled himself to us. But the thing that we labor and we stagger in is us being reconciled to him. You know, Scripture tells us to be ye reconciled unto God. You know, to be reconciled, sometimes we think of it probably in a way that there is a lot of work that we need to do that. Well, the truth of the matter is we have no work to do other than that which has already been worked within us. But indeed, we read that we should, as God's little children, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God who has worked it within you. Amen. To will and to do in accordance with his good pleasure. You know, we were singing that song, Living by Faith, and we were singing some other songs this morning. And the songs in themselves, it gives us a great, it brings great joy into our hearts. Because in those songs, we feel and hear the presence of the Lord, and we feel the faithfulness of our God and the truthfulness in what Jesus has done for us. There's no doubt in our minds from time to time that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed came to this world and paid our sin debt and died for us and justified us in the eyes of the Father. There's no doubt in our mind that he has indeed imputed his righteousness unto us. But then there are other times, brethren, we find ourselves, the scripture says that Abraham staggered not, which means he wasn't doubtful. He was certain, and he stood in that promise of the Lord. I mean, when we waver, what happens is that promise that God has given us, we begin to question it. We begin to have that reasonable doubt in our mind that somehow that the faithfulness of God somehow doesn't apply to me or you in this particular situation in life. Well, brethren, we as God's children ought not to stagger, see, because when we stagger, what happens is that we're robbed of the joy and peace that we get when we walk in faith.
Right.
When we believe on that which God has promised us. You know, he hasn't promised us that life would be peachy keen, but what he has promised us that I will give you peace in the midst of all of the troubles that you might have in this world. Right. It doesn't matter what the trouble is. What matters is the faithfulness of the Lord our God. And sometimes we begin to give audience to the trouble. We begin to give audience to the circumstance of life, and we fail to give any audience to God's promise at all. And when that happens, brethren, we stagger. We begin to doubt. We actually begin to question the faithfulness of the Lord our God. I mean, we can all sit here and say with all of our hearts, that we know that God is faithful. So yet, why do we stagger? Why do we begin to question his faithfulness? You know, in our trials and troubles in this life, Scripture tells us, it tells us in the book of James, I think, it says, resist the devil and flee from, and he will flee from you. Now, we can remember that part. But what does it say before that? Huh?
Draw nigh
to God. Let me just read it to you. It's in James 4. It says to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? That means to give yourself over to God. To be reconciled to the Lord our God. I will contend and promise you, brethren, if we don't, if we ignore the first part of that verse,
there you go.
The second will have no effect whatsoever. Because we in and of ourselves, we don't have a desire to resist sin. I mean, it's in our nature. We're drawn to that just like a piece of metal is drawn to a magnet. I mean, that's just who we are by nature. But James doesn't say simply to just to kind of resist the devil like we're mighty warriors. He tells us to submit yourselves unto God. And in that submission, brethren, there becomes a realization and a comfort that if God is for us, brethren, who can be against us? There's also, brethren, that realization and comfort that God has indeed covered us as though in that cleft in the rock that he has covered us and that anything that might come our way, brethren, that our God stands there. The battle, brethren, is the Lord's. When it comes to battling sin, brethren, we can't do that. The battle is the Lord's. And brethren, he will fight for you. But brethren, he's not going to fight if we simply ignore him. If we begin to stagger and question that God is God faithful to deliver me from this? I think the other question, brethren, is, am I faithful to submit myself unto God? You know, there's nothing wrong with God's faithfulness.
Nope.
But brethren, the issue is with us individually. That when we realize, brethren, the promises of Almighty God, brethren, yes, there will indeed be joy by and by, brethren, but there can be joy and unspeakable as we journey in this land, brethren, when we are blessed to walk with the Lord. Walk with him, brethren, who has delivered you and who has given you life eternal. And we can't do that, brethren. I talk to myself when I say that, brethren, but we can't do that on a Sunday morning. You know, brethren, if our life... If our life of submission is between the hours of 10:30 and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, brethren, something is wrong and you will not have any peace in this world.
Right.
Your life will be turmoil. You know, we think about, well, Brother John, if I do that, now what am I giving up? You're giving up sorrow. You're giving up anxiety.
Right.
You're giving up stress. You're giving up all those things that are not good for you anyway. Okay, so where do I get in any place? What's the benefit in doing that? How about joy unspeakable? How about a peace that passes all understanding? How about being blessed, brethren, that we realize, brethren, that as we walk, there's a storm all around us. But how about walking through that storm with an umbrella? And that umbrella is the Lord, sheltering you, carrying you through, keeping you dry, so to speak. Untarnished. Keeping your blood pressure down if you have that issue.
Amen.
Whatever our issue might be, brethren, because I will tell you that as sure as you breathe air and have life, you have issues. We all do. We don't escape from issues. Now we can sit there and pretend that we don't, but we're not fooling anybody. We're definitely not fooling God. Because you know what? God knows your issue. Even if you can't see it, even if you don't know what it is, God knows. God knows all. So when we read that Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And if I have peace with God, why is my life such a wreck? If I have peace with He who created this world, why is life so bleak? Why is it so dark at times? You have peace with He who created the world. He has reconciled you unto Himself. Let us, brethren, labor to enter into that rest. Let us not sit on our laurels. That's a nice way of saying, you know what? But instead, brethren, cling to and hold on to the faithfulness of the Lord our God. God has said to you, I have reconciled you unto me. There is no longer any enmity between you and me. That has been taken care of by the blood of my Son. That is what He said to you. So if there's no longer any enmity between God and you, then surely the issue is with you and me and not the Lord our God. We sang that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It is great, brethren. It is so great, brethren, that these natural minds of ours will never in this life, in this world, be able to comprehend the faithfulness and the love of the Lord our God. But you know what? You can rejoice in those things that you cannot comprehend. Don't be confused with, just because I don't understand, that I can't rejoice in it. Rejoice in it, brethren, because we're told to indeed to give thanks in all things. You know, I get up this morning and I feel good and I can say, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. I'll get up tomorrow morning, maybe my back hurts, maybe I got a headache, maybe I don't want to work, whatever it might be. Do I still say praise the Lord? Well, we should. We should. God tells us to give thanks in all things, not just the things that you like, not just the things that you think make you feel better or make you look better. Even if it makes you look dumb as a rock, praise God for it. Because if you feel like it makes you look dumb as a rock, perhaps the Spirit has revealed to you that you're doing something that you ought not to be doing in the first place. So be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord, brethren, in all things. And remember that God has reconciled us unto Himself by the blood of the Lamb. He has also covered you with His righteousness. That we don't have to worry about being one whose righteousness is as filthy rags, because we're covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified in the eyes of the Father. We're sanctified. And one sweet day, brethren, when we raise into glory, we're going to be glorified as well. But until that time, until that chapter gets here, brethren, while we're here in the now, remember what James says. If you want to live, if you want to have a better life, I'm sure you all do, right? Well, let me tell you this. A better life is not a better job. A better life is not a fatter paycheck. A better life is not eating all the ice cream that you want and not have to worry about it. A better life is submitting yourself unto the Lord our God. Blessed be His name.
Bless your heart. You stopped too quick, brother. I love you, brother. Thank the Lord for you. Good preaching. Good preaching.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While thou art calling, do not pass me by. Surely I've appreciated the things that we've heard this morning. Between the blood pressure and the ice cream, you hit me pretty hard, brother. Thank the Lord for good instruction that comes from the Word of God and comes to us. And it always amazes me when we meet and the Lord's in the matter, how the minds of the brethren and the congregation seem to run in one accord. I don't think that's happenstance or luck or anything like that. I believe it's the working of God's grace and what the Lord provides for us when we meet in a place like this, the Lord's church, that He's given to us here in this world to instruct the Lord's people. He calls ministers to preach the gospel and gives them the liberty and the ability to do that. He's the one who provides the talents, and He's the one who provides their several ability, like the parables of the pounds that were given and the talents that were given. The Lord gave unto different ministers or different of His servants different talents. Whatever talent He gives us, whatever He supplies to us, it's our obligation to use what the Lord gives us, and then He adds to us. He's the one who adds. He's the one who gives the benefit and the growth. And the word to each one of them, whether they were 5 talents or 10 talents or 2 talents or even 1 talent, is when they followed what the Lord would give them and the Lord would bless them and He'd add to them, He'd say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and then I'll give to thee other things." In other words, more responsibility comes. And so important that God's ministers are looking to the Lord for what they're to feed God's people. And we depend upon the Lord to give us the ability to do that and the wisdom to do that. And the Lord adds unto us. And so in the end of that, we give the Lord the glory and the honor and the praise. And I certainly feel the Lord's blessed our dear brother as he preached to us this morning about believing. My mind was on the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. We're going to look at that for just a minute. Because I could almost have read the verse and let Brother John preach. And that would have been as suitable a text for what he has told us as what he used over in Romans 4 and 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Some people believe that's how you get to heaven. That by faith you believe, and because you believe, you're washed and cleaned up and justified, and that suits you for heaven. The Bible does tell us there's a justification in faith and a justification that's in believing, but it isn't what gets you to heaven. If that would be the case, then would you want to depend on your faith right now and how much you're believing and that be your opportunity or your access to eternal heaven? Would that be comfort to you? Or it wouldn't be comfort to me, because even when I would do good, I find evil present with me, like the Apostle Paul says. Even when I'm believing, I'm like the brother who says, Lord, I believe. Like right now, I believe. But I have a lot of unbelief in this old flesh that hasn't yet been made like unto him. And you do too, because all of us have that warfare and that battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is weak. The spirit leads us always in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God never leads his children anywhere but the right way. He always, the spirit within you is guiding you and directing you on the right path. But there's a flesh that is there as well. One day we're going to be done with that. We're not going to be done because we get it good enough to get into heaven. God's working on us all the time. And when he comes again, he's going to take what Paul says as a vile body. He's going to take this vile body. Paul said his vile body. If Paul's body was vile, the writer of the New Testament, most of the New Testament, if his body was vile, what must Gary Utz's body be like? And what must your body be like? The good news, he's going to change our vile body and make it like unto his glorious body. And that warfare and that battle that you're going to fight, you know, it's not hard, as hard a battle sitting at church on Sunday morning as it is when you go to work on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day. And you get hit. And Job said that trouble is going to come just like sparks in a fire. You read in the book of Job, just trouble comes. Trouble's a part of life. Just as a fire, you see a fire and you look at the fire. And I read that verse and I don't think I'm going to see fires and campfires anymore just the same. Every time the sparks, you know how the sparks fly out of a campfire? You know, if you throw a log in or something, the sparks fly upward. You know, Job said, the book of Job tells us that troubles come in your life just like that, just as sure as that's the case. There's no possibility we're not going to face some trouble. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, he wasn't saying you're not going to have trouble. He wasn't saying there wasn't going to be life. I read after one preacher who said, this does not say let your heart. It says, let not your heart be troubled. It didn't say, let not your life be troubled. I thought that was a good statement. Let not your life be troubled. You can't control that. Job said this, man that is born of a woman. Y'all have heard me quote this one a lot. It's one of those I know, so I quote them. You know what you quote a lot, what you know. So you say, why does he keep quoting the same things over and over? Because those are the ones that I know. Can't quote what you don't know. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, and I might not quote it now. You know, what was that brother Randy said? He got in a state where he couldn't quote Jesus wept. Sometimes that's where we get. Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days. It means you live just a little while and full of trouble. If that's all that was in the Bible, we'd be pretty sad today. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Your life's going to be troubled. I can't fix that. Jesus didn't want it. God, it's not God's will that be fixed. There's a time of tribulation and problem and afflictions and things that you're going to face in your life. And there's going to be things that don't go the way you want them to go. There's going to be folks you pray for and ask God to help and to heal that it's not in accord with His will to help and heal. Let's be honest. If we could just heal everybody by praying, none of our loved ones would ever die. None of them would ever get sick. And we'd never have any problems in that sense. And we think maybe that would be good. That's not in God's design. We're going to grow older. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, and you're going to have trouble. He said, Brother Gary, I didn't need to come to church this morning to hear that, but that's part of what we need to know. Some people preach that if you do this or that or some other thing, then you won't have any more trouble. You can just fix all of that. And then there are those that have God's little children who try to do those things that people tell them to do so they won't get any of those problems. And the next thing you know, they're in the middle of those problems. They pray to say, cancer, stay away from me. And cancer comes. They pray and say, get my dad better or my mom better. And mom and dad don't get better. And then they are left and saying, well, where do I go now? I ask you, Lord, but you let me down. You didn't. He never promised to do everything you wanted Him to do when you wanted Him to do it. He said, submit unto me. Submit yourself unto me. Draw nigh unto me, and He will be with us. My life is filled with that, and so is yours. Where He's been with you, where He supplied that which you stood in need of, where it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out, but He had another plan, He had His own purpose. And according to His own good pleasure, God took care. Has not God, can I say this? God's taken care of me. And I believe I can say this, He's taken care of you. I hope you can amen. Wouldn't hurt you to do it out loud, but if you do it in your heart, that's the most important. He's been with you. In the storms and in the problems and in the troubles, He's been with you. He loved you enough that Jesus came and died for you. He bore your sins on the cross. He took your pain and your agony on the cross. He not only let men do what they did to Him, but God, His Father, poured out the judgment that would have been mine and yours upon Him. And His soul was vexed. His soul suffered on the cross, not just the physical agony, but the pain that I would have endured and you would have endured, separated from Him throughout all eternity. Jesus felt every bit of that on the cross for you, because He loved you. I had my little Piper Jane sitting on my lap the other day, sitting there. And she's gotten big enough now, she'll hug me. You know, before it was like, I can get a hug, but it ain't long. You know, so it wasn't going to last long. She laid her little head up on in my arms as I was sitting there. Of course, we were watching what she wanted to watch on the computer. She was getting her way, but I mean, you know, well, I'm granddaddy. Look, that's what I do. She laid her little head up on me. I just felt the love. And I thought I couldn't love her anymore than I do. You know what I mean? And then I thought about the love God has for me. That's so far greater than that. That He was willing to give His Son. And the Son was willing to come. And at Calvary, He said, He took upon Himself freely, did this, every sin I'd ever committed, so that one day I can be with Him in a far greater way than little Piper Jane was sitting in my lap, and I loved her and felt so close. But listen, the realness that I'll have with Him, the realness even that I feel right now, like I belong to Him. I hope you're sitting there feeling like you belong to Him. I hope you're sitting there understanding He loved you. And He loved you before the foundation of the world. And whether you know He loves you or not, even if you're pulling away, sometimes she don't hug me. Sometimes she's pulling away. I love her just as much. But she's pulling away. And sometimes that's where we are. What He's saying is just what Brother John has preached. We need to snuggle up. We need to hold Him. We need to lean on Him, and we need to trust Him that He's going to take care of us. And though it doesn't work out all the time the way I want it to do, He is in control. Isn't it good to know He's in control? Whether you know it or not, He is. God's not the author of sin. He's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of all of this stuff going on in this world. This world is mixed up. This world is upside down. This world is an untoward generation. But I'm telling you, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which He has done and that which He is doing is for the good and the benefit of God's little children. And He will never lead us or guide us in a way that we should not go. And when we turn it over to Him, that's the lesson of John 14. You believe in Me. Believe in God. That's a fact. Believe also in Me. And there'll be peace. Though trouble is at the door, there'll be no trouble in your heart. Trouble isn't what guides you. Trouble isn't what directs me. Trouble isn't what my life is about. My life is about finding peace by turning it over to the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't do what the Lord would have us to do. It means just the opposite of that. We take up our cross and we follow Him. And then when we do what He says for us to do, we just leave it in the Lord's hands. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that good news today? Don't go out of here troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I noticed it didn't say you won't have trouble, but don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Why could I not be troubled? Is there a reason not to be troubled? Yes, because the God of heaven has me. The God of heaven is holding me. The God of heaven who created the heavens and the earth has promised to supply all that I stand in need of according to His riches in glory, according to His power and to His might. We don't trust in a little God. We trust in the God who made the heavens and the earth. That's the one who's taking care of us. He says, ye believe in God. Statement of fact. He says, believe also in Me. He's talking to His disciples. The disciples He just told a second ago, y'all love one another. A new commandment I've given you. You know one of the greatest things, the best things you can do to find peace in this world is find God's little children in this world and love them. And as much as you've done it to the least of His brethren, you've done it unto Him. And when we come together in a setting like this, we talk about the Lord. We talk about the greatness of the Lord. We talk about the power of the Lord and the might of the Lord and the sovereignty of the Lord. And we recognize that's the God who loves me and the one who's holding me and keeping me, who said one day, I'll be with Him in glory. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I believe He's given us many right here in this world, in this text. But I believe He's also given us many that are coming in the world to come when we gather together at home in glory. Every one of God's little children will have a place prepared for them in heaven. If this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and we have those promises. Can we believe that today? Can we believe what God says? I said to you, we can. Matter of fact, I say we feel it now as He manifests His presence to us. And where two or three of you are gathered together, what did He say? Behold, I am there in the midst. And He manifests His presence. And just to see Him a little bit like we have this morning just makes my life so much better. What is it going to be when we get to see Him face to face? All we can say is, what a day that will be. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. Where are they? I believe they're right here in this world when God's little children are blessed to sit together in heavenly places, in the church, among the Lord's people. We're enjoying some of those mansions. But they're not just here in this world. They are awaiting us in glory because Jesus is there in glory. He says, and in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What does that mean? That means whatever Jesus says, you can count on it. You can depend on it. You know what that book of Revelation says His name is? True and faithful. That's a good Savior, isn't it? We got a Savior you can count on. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Where was he going? He had just told his children and his disciples, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to pay a sin debt. And remember, Peter had said, oh, it's not going to happen. I don't want that to happen. Peter didn't have a clue. He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He didn't realize how weak and feeble that he was. Jesus knew all about it and he loved him anyway. And he was going to the cross. And at the cross, what did he prepare? Somebody said, wasn't heaven prepared before the foundation of the world? He said, come ye blessed of my Father and heard the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wasn't heaven already prepared? Jesus is not up in heaven today building houses. He's not up in heaven today making mansions and doing that. What he did was go to the cross. And though heaven was ready for every one of his children, there was no way you and I could enter there, was it? There's no way you and I could have fellowship with him right now today unless something was done for us. And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus did. At Calvary, he removed that which separated us from God. So that you and I today, how can Jesus have fellowship with me, a sinner? Because Jesus died for me and paid the sin debt for me. How could Jesus ever allow me to enter heaven in immortal glory? Because he paid the sin debt. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, hear this. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The sweet privilege we have of fellowship with him right now is because of what he did for us at the cross. And the sweet privilege we'll have one day of being with him in heaven in immortal glory. Safe and secure without the loss of one. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He did it. It's because of what he did for us. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And here's Brother Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And in loving answer and response, he said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The answer here is, as we trust and lean upon him, what do we find? We find peace in our heart and in our soul. I just want to read one verse, one last verse in your hearing. In Romans 15 and verse 13. This verse says so much. We're just going to read it because if we get started on it, we'll be here a while. He says, now the God of hope. Isn't it good to have a God of hope? You need hope today? We have a God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you. Can the God of hope fill you? He made the world. Can he fill us? Sure. What's the prayer here? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's what Brother John was preaching, that we have joy. He would fill us with all joy and peace. How can we have joy and peace? What did he say? In believing. How do we believe? By the faith he's given us. And when we believe, we find joy and peace. And he goes on, that ye may abound, that ye may abound in hope. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Notice that none of this comes out of us. It all comes out of him. Sounds like he's everything, doesn't it? That's what he is. Everything. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.